Well, it's an encouraging sign that a lot of these transactions continue to be farmer to farmer. What we've seen over the last 7 or 8 years is that cropland values have increased over 50% at the U.S. average level. And in some parts of the country, they're up 60, 70, 80%. And what that tells me is that when that farm does come available for sale, that farmer that's been eyeballing it maybe for 10 or 15 years is able to go out and get it. So we're keeping the agricultural land in farm families, and that's real important for the farm economy.
Okay. Thank you.
You mentioned record low contribution to the GDP. Talk a little bit more about that.
Well, I think just on the back of low commodity prices, we've seen commodity prices across a lot of sectors of agriculture declined by over 50% since 2013. And so the ultimate impact is that the farm contribution to U.S. GDP is at record low levels. It's less than 1%. And while agricultural GDP is over $1 trillion and is record high, the farm share is at its lowest level, really highlighting the challenges in the farm economy. The rest of the U.S. economy is surging. Unemployment's at an 18-year low, but the farm economy is really struggling and unfortunately is the tip of the sword in these trade negotiations.
So if you could wave a magic wand and fix the farm economy, give me the three major factors or three major areas that you would fix in order to get the farm economy back on track.
Well, I'll tell you, one thing that's really hard to measure when you're talking about the farm economy is labor. With so many of our farmers depending on labor, if we don't have the help that we need at 3 a.m. to milk the cows or the help we need during harvest, that's going to devastate the U.S. farm economy. So I think that's the number one issue that keeps farmers and ranchers up at night is what are we going to do about ag labor. But then you move forward, you talk about the trade agreements. We need to get access, better access into Canada, for example, better access into China, get some of those regulatory barriers that China's imposed on us for a number of years, pull down some of those trade barriers and sell more products in these markets. We were moving in that direction when we got beef into China. We need to keep moving in that direction for a lot of commodities and do the same thing all over the world. Think about bilaterals with Vietnam and other countries to improve our market access. And then I think the final piece of that is making sure that we have a farm bill so that farmers and their lenders know that we've got certainty in the event of a crop loss or in the event of a very significant downturn in the farm economy, we have safety nets there to protect them.
You mentioned the labor issue, and certainly is important. What does agriculture need? Immigration and labor have been in the news a lot the last couple of weeks. What does agriculture need in terms of an immigration and labor fix?
Well, I think, you know, we've been supportive. We want border security. We want to do that, but we also need access to skilled labor. In some sectors of the farm economy, we need access to skilled labor year-round. Temporary visas don't work for some of these high-skilled portions of agriculture like dairy farmers, so they need to have access to these employees on a year-round basis. I think that's the key first step in reforming immigration for agriculture.
And my final question is, we talked about the ag economy quite a bit. What's the message that consumers need to understand about where the farm economy is across this country right now and what they can do to help, and how do we get them to better understand their connection between their food and where it comes from?
You know, that's a fantastic question. I think when you look at the farm share of the food dollar, it's at a fairly low level. It's less than 15%. When you account for farm production, what they have to pay to produce the crop, their farm share of the food dollar is less than 8 cents. So with commodity prices being where they've been for a number of years at these very low levels, what we've seen is relatively flat food prices. The CPI for food consumed at home has remained relatively stable. So while we've seen some inflations in other parts of the economy, we haven't really seen that in the food space. There are certainly events that drive up food prices, like egg exports this year has driven up egg prices, or a shortage of pork bellies drove up bacon prices last year. But in general, food prices have been relatively flat. So I think the U.S. consumer, you know, they spend the least amount of their money, least amount of their disposable income on food. And that's because of not only the productivity of farmers and ranchers, but also some of these things that we've been working so hard to try to fix.
Do you have any predictions as to when this economy begins to turn around?
Well, you know, that's a tough one. You know, they always say the cure for high prices is high prices and the cure for low prices is low prices. Unfortunately, what we've seen today is not just one low price dip and then a rebound. It's more like a death by a thousand cuts. For a lot of crops, their prices have been below those higher levels that we saw in 2011 and 12. And one of the reasons why we've seen prices so low, we have really great weather across, you know, the Corn Belt. We have cheap feed ingredients for the livestock space. So what's going to turn it around? I ultimately believe it's getting new market access, getting these trade agreements done. That's going to be the first step to turn the farm economy around.
Thank you, Dr. Newton. One more, Nicole.
Farm bankruptcies. Where are we at? Where is it headed?
Well, what we saw the first quarter of 2018 is Chapter 12 farm bankruptcies. Those are farm and family fisheries. Came in at 116 filings. That's down slightly from the first quarter of 2017. But when you dive into the circuit court data, you do see that in some parts of the country, farm bankruptcies are up over 100%, really highlighting the challenges that some of our farm families are facing across rural America. I think many expect farm bankruptcies to continue to increase throughout the rest of 2018, especially if commodity prices continue to get hurt by some of the trade rhetoric and so forth.